Thank you so much, Pastor. Truly, our God is a good God, isn't he? Praise God. Amen. Everything thus far has been great. I could just go ahead and leave and tell you and dismiss you because God has already been here. He's already showed up. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. Wow. Every time I come into this place, it's just an overflowing love of God here. Amen. God loves you. He cares. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of thee. So because you are here, anything can happen. Praise God. Whatever you're going through, God is here for you. Whatever you're facing, he's here for you. Did you know that your life is in this book? If you're sad, you're in here. If you're lonely, you're in here. If you're distressed, you're in here. Amen. If you're despondent, you're in here. Everything you're going to face in life is in this book. All you've got to do is read it, find where you are, and see what God has done and what he will do. And you can be victorious and continue to walk in your relationship with God. The Lord asked Abraham, he says, is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard from God. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Amen. One of the problems is, if you ever read Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord says to him, he says, stand ye and ask, where's the old path? Where's the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest to your soul. But you know what they said? Nah, we ain't going to do that. Well, it isn't God's fault. If you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, if you don't have rest, it's not his fault. He says, ask, do, and be. And it happened. Think about it. Disappointment comes to every one of us. Did you know that? But guess what? Discouragement is a choice. Disappointment comes to every one of us, but discouragement is a choice. You make the choice if you're going to be discouraged. No one else. You make that choice. See, but because I love God, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. There's an old song that says, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. How do you feel? Sing it with me. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Here's why. In his arms I feel protected. in his arms. I'm never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. And in his arms, I'm never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to be in his presence. I'm so thankful to be in his arms this morning. Oh, in his arms I feel protected. He's a good God. He's a friend that will stick closer than a brother. You can trust God. Amen. He's with you. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Portman. Amen. And Sister Portman, and to you, Apostolic Faith Church, for all your faithfulness, all your love for the Lord, and the things that you do for the kingdom of God. Amen. I will say on behalf of the district board, amen, you guys are doing great things for the kingdom, and don't stop. Amen. Praise God. To the book of Exodus this morning. Thank you so much, Brother Mundy. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 13 through verse 17. Your visitor this morning, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for seeking for God and his help for you this morning. This is a good home. Amen. This is a great church. Amen. Exodus chapter 23, verse 13 through verse 17. Scripture says, "And all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect." In other words, observe and take heed. "And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy laborers out of thy field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God." Amen. Amen. And I want to minister to you for a few moments from this thought, the feast of harvest. The feast of harvest. Lord Jesus, we again come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning, oh God. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, we pray that you will stay with us. God, we pray that none of us will leave the way that we came, but that we will leave changed and renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost, and we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Amen. The feast of harvest. Amen. One of the things that you will find when you begin to read the Word of God and search the Scripture, you will notice all the way from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation that God is very detailed in the things that He desires to take place. God gives us patterns and things for us to follow and for us to obey to help us to be able to understand and to be able to grow in the things that God has given us. The writer of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 says, amen, for we who served unto the example and shadows of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saying he, that you make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Amen. So we can begin to see that the things that God desires are patterns for us because they fit into a heavenly theme. Amen. Excuse me. They are symbols and ideology or ideas of heavenly things. For example, the ark. When you begin to look at the ark was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. When you begin to observe how Noah was given the details, instructions, you will notice as you begin to study it that it was just like Jesus Christ. Amen. When you begin to look at it, it was to be sealed within and without. Amen. It was to be 30 by 50 by 300. Amen. 30. Jesus was sold for what? 30 pieces of silver. Amen. And with 50, from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. Amen. It was 300 when Mary anointed Jesus with the anointment when she broke her alabaster box. They said, could not this have been sold for 300 pence? Amen. Inside of the ark, there was three floors. Amen. If you begin to look at this from a spiritual standpoint, you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Ghost. But how many arcs are they? There's only one. Amen. For Paul says, in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. It had one door. Jesus says in John 10, I am the door to the sheepfold. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It had one window in the top, which represent to allow the light to get in. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light, life. Amen. It was to be sealed within and without. Amen. What was on the inside must be on the outside. When the Holy Ghost is on the inside, the fruit of the Spirit reveals itself on the outside. When the Holy Ghost is inside, love is on the outside. Joy is seen on the outside. Faith is seen on the outside. Temperance, meekness, all these traits of character of God is seen on the outside. They are types and shadows of the things in heavenly places. Praise God. Paul writing to the church at Corinth in the 10th chapter. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers was under the cloud and all passed through the sea and was baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Notice they all had the same thing. Amen. God does not have something for me and not for you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've got to have the same. Amen. He's not going to fill me with the Holy Ghost one way and you with another. We all have to have the same. Amen. To be his children. Amen. We all have to conduct ourselves the same to be his people. Amen. Who is a rock, save our God. Who is the Lord? Save our God. Amen. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, thou art Jeremiah, or Elijah, or one of the old prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, for Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Jesus is the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Praise God. Beware, Paul says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Amen. So are you in the pattern? Turn to someone and ask them, say, are you in the pattern? Praise God. Three feasts the Lord mentioned. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was known as the Passover. It was to commemorate them being delivered from bondage. The children of Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years, and now God developed a plan to deliver them. And they were to take the blood and put it on the doorposts. And when the death angel passed through and it saw the blood, it would pass over them. But God brought them out, and that's what the Passover is. And we've just celebrated the Passover 50 days ago, what we call Easter, or the resurrection. Amen. That was the first feast that they was all males was to keep. And the second feast was the Feast of Harvest, or what we call today the Day of Pentecost. And this feast was to commemorate the giving of the law. Amen. It was always done at the wheat harvest. The winter wheat would now grow, and it would be ready to be harvested. And so that would be a feast. And the third feast was the Feast or in Gathering, or the Feast of Tabernacles, which was to commemorate Thanksgiving for God's provision for them in the wilderness. So from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. 50 was a day of jubilee. It was a time of release. Amen. So from Pentecost, amen, on forward, once we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are to continue to worship and to praise and never forget the things that God has prepared for us. From the Passover to Pentecost is 7 weeks. From Passover to the Feast of Ingathering is 7 months. Why seven? Because that's God's number. That's the day of completion. That means God is involved with it. Amen. So from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. Luke writing to the church and the book of Acts, amen, chapter 1, he says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to teach unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he have chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore was come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the whole earth. Amen. Now notice, Luke says that Jesus was seen 40 days after his resurrection. So what happened to the other 10 days? Well, the disciples would have been in the upper room praying approximately 9 days. Amen. Because 9 plus 40 is 49, right? So we got to have one more day. And that's why Luke would start in the second chapter with this word. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now dwelling at Jerusalem was Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Why? Because God had commanded that the Passover, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering, that all males would go to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, the Passover, you probably wouldn't have had as many people. And the Feast of Ingathering, you probably would not have had as many people because the weather, amen, the beginning of spring, the seas are not easy to traverse. And the fall of the year, the tree, the rivers or the ocean is not easily to traverse. But Pentecost would have had everybody there because it was that time of the year which made for easy traveling. Amen. So Luke says that he was seen 40 days of them commending him about the things of the kingdom of God. Paul says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice what Jesus says. It's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has placed in his own power. You see, as Solomon says, there's a time and there's a season for every purpose under the heaven. And Pentecost is one of those purposes under heaven. Here it is the time for God to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It was the 50th day now that God began to pour out of his Spirit in Jerusalem upon those which had come to worship. And like today, you've come to worship. Praise God. And so you can be filled. It is the time to be filled. It is the time for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Sometimes after we receive the Holy Ghost, we think we have arrived. We think we've made it. We think we got it together. But every day, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Amen. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving. The psalmist said, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Notice, why is Pentecost so important to you and me? Listen to Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. Behold, the day day come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. So notice what the Lord says. He said, the day is coming that I'm going to write my law in your heart. Amen. Before, it was written on tables of stone. It was written on parchments. But God now says, there's a day coming. I'm going to change it. I'm going to write it on your heart. And I'm going to write it in your mind so that everybody would know me. They're not going to have to say, know the Lord, because you're going to know me when my spirit is in you, when I write it in your heart, when I put it in your mind. You're going to know that I'm there. Praise God. He's going to write it in your mind. David says in Psalms 51:6, behold, thou art thy truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts will you make me to know wisdom. All wisdom is knowledge and understanding personified in your life. Amen. Through the wisdom of God, you're going to know him. You're going to love him when he writes it in your heart. It's not going to be on parchments anymore. It's not going to be on tables of stone. It's going to be written in the heart of your mind. Praise God. So that you will know him. Praise God. You see, as long as it was on that parchment, I can read it and I can just walk away. That's why James says, amen, don't look at the perfect law of liberty and don't do what it says. He says, because you walk away, you're like a man looking at a mirror and beholding himself. And I can look in the mirror and see that my tie is not straight. And if I don't fix it while looking in the mirror, when I walk away, I'm going to forget all about it. It was out of place. See, when you look in the Word of God, and it sees and shows you who you are, you need to make the adjustment right then. Amen. Because if not, you will walk away and forget exactly what it said. But now, when the Holy Ghost comes in, when God puts it inside of you, you're going to know what this says. You're going to begin to realize what this says and what you should do with it. Amen. And how you should conduct yourself. This is what the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. Have God written it in your heart today? Has he written your word in you? Jesus says, I will be in you and dwell in you, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Wherefore he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Having this promise, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness and the fear of God. Why? Because God is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. If you spend the rest of your life on the earth, be holy. Because the Bible says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without shall no man see the Lord. You got to be holy, for he's holy. So God says, I'm going to put my law in your inward parts. Praise God. And write it in your heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Do you know him? The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he. The everlasting Father. The King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom by whom all things were made. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. The omnipresent spirit who fills the universe. The advocate, the high priest. The lamb for sinners slain. The author of redemption. Oh, glory to his name. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The living word incarnate. The helpless sinner friend. Our wisdom and perfection. Our righteousness and power. Yeah, all you need is Jesus. And you can find him this very hour. He's as close as the mention of his name. Call upon me while I am near, and you shall find me. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. God says, I'm going to write it in your heart, and I'm going to write it in your mind. I'm going to put my spirit within you. Praise God. Paul says to the church of Rome, for if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you say, well, how do I know if I have the spirit? Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through verse 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believe was astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see that the infilling of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. Not man. It's the Spirit of God that gives the utterance. Not man. It's the Spirit of God that give the utterance. I don't care what church you go to. You need to have the Holy Ghost the same way that they had it and got it in the Bible. Amen. That's the problem, is people is listening to man instead of what the Word of God says. The Bible says they was all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now in the 11th chapter, notice what happens. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, or the Jews, contended with him, saying, thou went to men uncircumcised, or to the Gentiles, and didst eat with them. Now notice, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. Amen. In other words, Peter began to tell where he was. He was up on a roof when the Holy Ghost called him to go to the Gentiles. Now notice verse 15 in Acts chapter 11. And as I began to speak, Peter says, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it fell on us from the beginning. How did it fall on them from the beginning? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The same way, Peter says. So Peter says, who will I to, amen, to question God? If God wants to give it to the Catholics, let him give it to the Catholics. If he wants to give it to the Methodists, let him give it to the Methodists. If he wants to give it to the Baptists, let him give it to the Baptists. If you want to give it to the Lutheran, let him give it to the Lutheran. I don't care who you are. You can be in prison. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Peter says, hey, man, they got it the same way we did. That's how we know they had it. Praise God. Tears can run down your face all day long. Don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. You can shout and jump and run. Doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. You can sign all the papers you want. It don't mean you have the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the pattern. You got to be in the pattern. God has a pattern. Praise God. Notice what the psalmists were writing. Psalms 81, verse 8, 11. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange gods be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Watch this. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Israel represents the church. My people would not listen. God says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Do you know what he's saying? He said, praise me, worship me, glorify me, open your mouth, amen. Begin to magnify the Lord and I'll fill it, amen. Praise God. You've got to learn to worship God. You've got to learn to magnify God, amen, to exalt him. In his presence is fullness of joy. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You've got to worship God. Amen. You can't sit there and be quiet. You need to open your mouth and let God fill it. Amen. If you're lonely, God can fill your loneliness. If you're discouraged, God can fill your discouragement. Whatever you're going through, God can fix it. You just got to open your mouth and praise him. Praise God. Praise God. Now, when they heard this, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received this word was baptized, and they was added unto them the same day about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Amen. Today is the feast day. It is the feast of harvest. Today the new wheat has grown. Today is the time for you to be filled afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you've never received the Holy Ghost, today is your day. Today is your time to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you've been discouraged, today is your day to break discouragement. If you've been despondent, today is your day to break despondency. Whatever you've been going through, today is the day of salvation. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. If you're here, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the wheat harvest. Hallelujah. This is the first fruits. This is the day for first fruits. Praise God. Peter said, Paul says, we are a kind of first fruit of the Spirit. You see, when you get the Holy Ghost, you become first fruits of the Spirit. Praise God. That's why you need to have the Holy Ghost. Because if not, you're none of God's. You'll become first fruit. Amen. You're ripe. Praise God. Amen. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. Praise God. You ever notice why when you sing songs, you feel so much better? Because you're opening your mouth. See, God wants to fill you. He wants to write it in your heart and write it in your mind so that you know him. That way he will always be with you, even unto the ends of the earth. If there be any consolation in Christ, praise God. If there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there be any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love and one accord, having the same spirit. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness let each esteem others better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in the likeness of man and fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He wants to write it in you, man. Ma'am, he wants to put it in you. He wants this to be in you so that you will know him. And that's what the Holy Ghost is. It is the Spirit of God. Amen. That's why he wants you to have it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Come on, let God write it in you. Let him put it in you. Amen. Oh, I want it in me deep. I want it in me deep. Do you want it in you deep today? Come on. The altars are open this morning. If you want God to write it deep within you, just come and open your mouth. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to worship him. I don't care if this is your first time in this place. Whatever you've got need of, come on to the altar. Let God fill you. Let him pour out his spirit within you. Let him make a difference in you. Come on, don't leave the way you came. Leave changed. Leave renewed. Leave refreshed. And the Holy Ghost begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God give you the utterance today. Come on, let God fill you up. Let him fill you up overflowing. Let the river of life flow out of you. Come on. Let him be in you today. He wants to fill you today. Come on. Renew yourself. Renew yourself in God. Praise God.